Our presentation today is Relationships Matter by James Morgan, and Gary will introduce James.
Gary Gates, he, him. When Pam asked if I would introduce our speaker today, I immediately agreed. James Morgan is the organizer for MOSES, Madison Organizing in Strength, Equity, and Solidarity. MOSES is a coalition of Madison area churches, organizations, and individuals that have committed to work together to correct the injustices of our criminal legal system. Prairie's congregation voted to unanimously to become one of its founding members in 2013. James has been working on correcting criminal legal system injustices even longer. In fact, he has spent most of his life preparing to be MOSES' organizer. He started by serving many years in prison to acquire an in-depth knowledge of its problems. He continued by being active in EXPO, ex-incarcerated people organizing, to help individuals and families whose lives have been harmed by the system. He was a participant in the preliminary meetings that led to the creation of MOSES. He worked for Just Staying, counseling and assisting people newly released from prison to help them make a successful transition to life outside of prison. Please welcome James Morgan, a man on a mission, our mission, to correct the harms done by our criminal legal system.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all get used to me. I'm gonna take a moment here because I'm still envisioning the vegan cat. For some reason, can't get that out of my head. But I always, like I'm sure many of you, I really enjoy being here when our young people are engaged and, you know, the stories are being shared and we understand, you know, the wonder that is happening in that moment for them. I am also a member of First Unitarian Society. Something that I think I should share with you all is that I'm also a husband and I'm a grandfather. I enjoy being outdoors, bike riding, fishing. I enjoy traveling. I'm a spoken word artist. I'm a visual artist. There's a lot to me besides what I do, and I don't call it my professional life. It's a passion, because what I do is about all of us. It's about relationship. And I was thinking about that this morning, and I said, I wonder what comes to mind when people hear that term, relationship. Because there was, you know, really a time in my life where relationship absolutely meant nothing to me. Given the family that I grew up in, the environment that I grew up in, you know, most of that was, in isolation. I really wasn't connected to a whole lot of people. I wasn't really connected to my family. I didn't know who these people were. They didn't know who I was. And it took many, many, many years for me to go on a journey of becoming someone and being in relationship with myself, that I was in a space where I was comfortable enough to share and to be in relationship with them. And so one of the first things I thought about was kinship. What does that mean? You know, what was my journey to kinship? And then I began to experience other things outside the realm of family where I had to partner with other people. So there's partnership. Then there's connection and cooperation, affiliation. A lot of language there, a lot of words. a lot of words that really they stand alone, and none of them really mean anything unless there's a level of participation, action, that causes the opening of the door for the relationship to begin. And I often wonder how many people understand what it means or what it looks like to be in relationship. In the work that we do, we talk about, or I talk about often, the value of relationship, the power of relationship. In Moses, we talk about building collective power. None of that is possible without building relationships. We live in a country where we have struggled to understand the value and the foundation and the principles and the morals behind building strong relationships. I'm not standing here to blame any of us, because there were a lot of things that happened. Messaging, propaganda, hateful language, a whole lot, you know, media messaging that has damaged our ability to be in relationship with one another. We have heard messaging about white this, black this, you name it, you heard it. You know what I'm getting to. We're in that space, we're in that time, and I think this is a place where I can be honest with you, and that I will be, is honest with you. So I think about relationship and where we are. And I think about the value of relationship and how once we come to a realization of what that is, and that it will take each and every one of us in a collective relationship to focus on creating a new reality. I'll say that again, and creating a new reality for all of us. I think we'll have a better sense of the level of intentionality that we will have to act upon to build the necessary relationship, to build a viable and loving and caring community. And we have to start with community first. Then we can look at whether we're going to talk about what our state looks like, what our nation looks like. But it starts with community. We just saw it right here. We saw a loving, caring, open community right here in front of us. And that takes a level of paying attention, being in relationship with, okay, not just a singular individual, but with the groups of individuals, you know. And I have, I'm going to tell you right now, man, I got a deep passion for the young ones, because I've been them. You've been them too. We've all been there. But on another level, I want to read a definition to you, because, you know, in relationship, we can become empowered. So I got up this morning and I printed out this definition of empowerment. And it says that empowerment is the degree of autonomy and self-determination in people and in communities. This enables them to represent their interests in a responsible and self-determined way, acting on their own authority. Singularly, we can all be empowered to one degree or another. We can look at relationship, and there's, hopefully you agree, different levels of relationship. You know, you're not going to be in the same level of relationship, for example, and I didn't have too many good relationships with the educators from where I came from, but that's going to be different than the level of relationship that you're going to have with a parent or a sibling. The relationship that you have within your work environment is going to be different than the relationships that you build in your social life or in your leisure activities. But I think we all, to one degree or another, want and need to be in a relationship with one another. And that takes a level of intentionality. Okay? I'll try to give you a quick example here. I remember being at a, as an artist, I remember being at a, at a, at an art show one evening. And there was this woman standing across the room. And I kept looking in her direction. She kept looking in my direction. I didn't know her. She didn't know me. And after, you know, a few moments, she had a little more courage than I did. And she walked over and she said, you know, I've been standing over there staring at you, and you look like a very interesting young black man. And I said, whoa. Wow. So I said, what's your name? She said, my name's Diane. I said, I'm James. I said, wow. Okay, pleased to meet you, James. Pleased to meet you, Diane. And we engaged in conversation. And I began to learn some things about this woman who a few moments ago who said all she saw was an interesting looking black man. But now she was engaging in a conversation with James. And I was engaging in a conversation with her. I began to learn that she was an English professor, and I'm a writer. And I was in the UW Odyssey program at the time, so we had some things in common. And we began to talk about art and other experiences that we had, and we became friends. So it was no longer just a very interesting looking black man standing there. Or, you know, as she defined herself, you know, me as a privileged white woman, that no longer existed. The relationship began to matter. That was about 10 years ago. We're very, very good friends today. Okay, we've had lunch together, not just her and I, her and myself, her and my wife and her husband, and relationship, okay? So it doesn't take a huge action or activity for us to begin to engage one another or to speak one another, to speak with one another and to one another. I've got another example I want to share with you because this is important to me and I believe it's important to you all. I had an experience during my incarceration. And I was taking a class with a gentleman by the name of Dr. James Cameron. And Dr. James Cameron wrote a book, and the book is called A Time of Terror. And in the 1940s in Marion, Indiana, Dr. Cameron stood amongst a group of people who had just a few moments before lynched two of his friends. And Dr. Cameron asked me because he saw something that I didn't see. You know, I understood I was angry about something. I wasn't able to pinpoint that anger at that particular point in time. But he asked me why I was so angry, and I began to share with him that my eyes, to a certain extent, was beginning or were beginning to be opened. And I have to admit that at that particular point in time, I was totally ignorant of the history of what had happened to people who had been brought to this country and enslaved and used for reasons and purposes that didn't bode well with my spirit. Angry. And so Dr. James Cameron shared what had happened, what he had saw, what he had heard. And he advised me at that time, this was in 1989, and he advised me at that time, he said, young man, you have some work to do. I'm looking at him and I'm saying, no. Dr. Cameron, you don't understand. I was sent here with a 55-year sentence. I'll never walk out of prison alive. He said, no, you have a work to do. And he advised me that the allies, the people who would join me in the work, would not be white people. Whoa. And my thought was, that's very obvious because I don't like them. I don't like those people. Then he said, your allies are not going to be black people. Double woe. What is this guy talking about? But he said, he went on to say to me, he said, you know, the people that will join you in this work, your allies will be people who understand the human condition. Wow. The human condition. That changed a whole lot in me. Not just in my environment, but it let me know something. It let me know then and there, even though there was a longer journey ahead of me, that the primary factor in understanding the human condition was to be in relationship. To be in relationship, to suspend those negative thoughts and ideas, okay, even given the histories, to be open to connecting with other human beings. Anybody disagree with that? Because if you do, that's okay too. Because I remember when I didn't. But it took me to understand that in my process of growth and change, because there was this thing that happened to a lot of us in prison and still does, whether you're in prison or jail, people talk about programs and you need to go do this program or that program and so forth and so on. But my experience of incarceration, what helped me to change was the relationships that I had with the educators in that environment, the relationships that I had with other persons who were incarcerated, the relationships that I was able to build with the keepers of the prisons, with the wardens and the security directors that allowed me to have a space within that environment to continue to grow and to become relationships. So for me, relationships matter. And, you know, I think one of the greatest gifts that we can give ourselves is to come to an understanding about the power and the value of relationship. And particularly when we find that space within ourselves that starts with the letter C, courage, where we cross over into areas that we're unfamiliar with and engage with people that we're unfamiliar with, to begin to build the relationship. And understanding that we all have the capacity to be angry. We all have the capacity to experience joy. We all, in one way or another, have been set up to experience trauma and disbelief. But in order to find not just a way to become healed by that, but to become whole through those experiences. I'm going to say that again. To become whole in those experiences is to begin to build relationships. It's not always going to be easy. Because the first person that one needs, I believe, in order to build a healthy and meaningful relationship is that confrontation that happens right here. Are you in a healthy relationship with you? When you say, I strive to meet the other person where they are, where are you? It's a process. It's building relationship. It's understanding what makes me tick. It makes me understand to a certain extent that this is a challenging journey. It's a challenging task. It takes a level of unlearning. A level of unlearning. In order to open the doors to communicate. And to communicate, we must utilize a couple of very, very important things. One of them, in and of itself, is language. There's no speech without language. So how do I define right here in my inner self what it means to be in relationship with myself and to be in relationship with you. Let me ask you a question. What's your name?
Matt.
Matt? Hi, Matt.
Hi.
How you doing? All right, it's good to see you, Matt. You're very handsome. Yeah, well, thank you. You know, but you have an engaging smile and personality. Not just here in this moment, but if I were to encounter you in a grocery store, I would say, hey, how you doing today? What would you say?
Hi.
See? Thank you. Thank you. It's that simple. Hello. How are you doing? Relationship. I have relationships with people in this city who are from Ghana, from other places around the world. Some of them I met in the grocery store because I was paying attention to how they spoke, their dialect. Hey, excuse me for a minute. Where are you from? Well, I'm from so-and-so. Okay. And especially those from the continent of Africa, they'll say, well, you know, I'm from Africa. And I go, okay, it's a huge continent. You know? And they'll say, well, I'm from Somalia or other places and so forth. You know, and then I'll look at them and go, what are you doing here? And it opens up the door for conversation. It doesn't matter what the person looks like. That thing called speech, language, opens up the door to relationship. And on the other side of that, one of the things that it does is it takes that level of this thing that I'm not going to say what a teacher told me in Tennessee one time, but F-E-A-R means to F everything and run. But it takes that component out of the way just to engage in the simple act of greeting the other person from a perspective of understanding that there is humanity in front of us. That's relationship. I don't know what you've been taught. I know that I had to do a whole lot of unlearning to get to where I am today and my level of understanding about relationships being able to bring people together to empower themselves and to empower communities. And that's something that we really need right now. We need it right now. Being honest with you, one of my core beliefs is that we the American people are under attack, and it's under attack by its own government. And the primary tool to use that is through the language and the propaganda and the hate speech and all of those things that divide us. But we have a far more powerful tool that once we begin to act upon it, we win. It may take some time. It may take some struggle. But we win. And that's the power and the value of relationship. So I want to thank you. I want to encourage you to be number one in relationship with yourself. And then be intentional in your relationships with others. So thank you.